Welcome to the Love Yourself Healthy podcast. I am Melanie Lillis. I'm an eating psychology coach, nutritional therapist, and I have my Bachelor of Physical and Health Education. Throughout this podcast, we are going to be diving into the realm of eating psychology, body image, self-love, and creating a healthy and happy mind. I cannot wait to share my knowledge with you in hope that it's going to positively influence your life. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I have a really exciting episode for you today. We are going to learn how to achieve weight loss and still have a healthy relationship with food, which I think is a really hard struggle for so many people. It's almost as if you can't have weight loss without struggling with food or having to restrict or something like that. So we're going to really dive into that today. We're going to start off with some of the science within your body and little things that I feel like are really necessary for you to almost understand or just have a little bit of a knowledge around so that you can move forward to make different choices. So before we get into it, I hope everyone's doing well. If you're living in Australia, we're having some restrictions ease, which are really nice, being able to see friends. I think as of today, we can now go sit in the park with about 10 people maximum. Yeah, I think it's just super exciting. Things are starting to open again and things are just starting to get back to normal, which is really, really nice. So yeah, as I said, sending you all some really good vibes and hope you're all doing well. So before we get into it, I want to share my listener review, which is more of a client review for someone who did my Beat Binge Eating online program. And it just finished. I'm actually just making changes to the next program because I have done two in the past and I've just gained so much knowledge around how it can improve, what strategies are working, what strategies need a little bit of work. So yeah, I'm going to be implementing a new and improved program, which I'm really excited about. So if you want to be a part of my next online group coaching program to beat binge eating, just email me at hello@bearxbrave.com. Now, one of the girls in my last program said, "There is nothing else in the world than this online course. I had been struggling with binge eating for over a decade, and I thought there was no hope for normal life. I was bulimic in my early 20s, and food became my biggest fear. I thought that I would always have to live following strict diets, controlling my weight, calories, macros, and all my flaws. It was a constant battle. Every single evening, I binged. My three therapies did not reach these basic behaviors and belief that Mel was able to. So here comes Melanie. She is like us. When I heard her story, I felt like she described my thoughts. So I believed that if she's fine, then maybe I can be too. 2020 might seem to be the worst year to most of the globe, but for me, this is the start of the best days ever. And if someone is struggling with body image, fear of food, fear of weight gain, please give yourself that chance to finally be happy and live a normal life. This girl will give you her whole heart and help you to reach your goal. I've been there and now I'm curious to see how much more I can achieve. Being myself, appreciating my body, and being relaxed around food became my biggest source of happiness." So that's probably the best review I could ever get on my course, being able to help someone become free of binge eating and even just changing that relationship with your body and how you see yourself is honestly a life changer. Like, I know firsthand how hard that is, and that's why I created that course. So yeah, if you're someone who wants help around that, please contact me by my email and I would love to help you. All right, I want to start the podcast by talking about the body and its optimal function. Now, I have spoken about these topics in previous podcast episodes, but I just want to really dive into more of the science throughout this episode and really try to break it down. So as a whole, the body needs balance, and balance means homeostasis. Homeostasis refers to stability, balance, or equilibrium within the body. It's our body's ability to be able to keep this consistent internal environment. Now, keeping a stable internal environment requires constant adjustments because obviously the conditions are always going to be changing inside and outside of our body. So the body is continuously making these adjustments so that it can stay at or near the set point, which means the normal level of range for where the body wants to be. And if that balance is shifted or disrupted and homeostasis is not maintained, then the result may cause disease or disorder of the body. So each part of your body, from your brain to your skin, your heart, your kidneys, your muscles, they all have a specific job. They take direction from your endocrine system to get the work done. The glands of the endocrine system, they send out these hormones, and these hormones signal each part of your body, telling them what work to do, when to do it, and for how long. Now, when you take a second to think about it, it is incredible. After millions of years of evolution, our body has managed to build this ability to constantly monitor itself and to make changes accordingly, or to preserve its existence. And that absolutely blows my mind, how the body works. Like, it fascinates me so much. So I want to start by looking at our food habits and how they affect the body. And I want to use the example of cutting calories or trying to stay like in a calorie deficit. Now, when you decrease the overall caloric intake of the body for an extended period of time, while you might see weight loss in the beginning, the body is actually seeking out its new norm. And once it discerns how to operate in a stable fashion with the decreased energy input, weight loss slows down significantly and eventually will stop completely. The body starts to adapt and it gets used to eating this low amount of calories. The body remembers that you've been at the same caloric intake and you've burnt the same number of calories for the past however many weeks, and it enters this fight or flight mode. In this mode, all it wants is survival. So what happens is that it figures out a new way to operate within those parameters, for better or for worse, and it does so without losing any more of its precious energy stores. And this is why so many people on a weight loss journey hit this plateau. The body tries to find balance in this new norm so that it has its best chance of survival. And for those eating a low-calorie diet, this means holding onto fat stores, slowing down metabolism, and decreasing calorie burning. And I want you to realize that when the body is trying to find this new norm and it's adapting to calorie deficit or macronutrient deficit, such as a low-carb diet, you are taking away the energy from other vital areas of the body. So this energy reduction could be at the expense of not having enough energy to play with your kids, to not get tasks done on time, to, you know, affecting your mood throughout the day. It can take energy away from you digesting your food. Like, there are so many areas that it can impact. The body will figure out how to use any available energy to power the most vital of functions and slowly dim those other functions to accommodate for this deficit. And this is why I hate, it's like a pet peeve of mine, if someone says weight loss is just a matter of calories in versus calories out. And I have spoken about this before, but there are so many different factors that come into play. And yes, calorie consumption is definitely one of them. I 100% agree. But by simplifying the weight loss process down to two factors, calories in and calories out, you're literally setting people up for major frustration and failure, and ultimately the opposite result of what they want, which is weight gain or that plateau, that inability to lose weight. So before I talk about the most important factors when it does come to weight loss, I want to discuss some of the outcomes to expect if you are someone who follows a restrictive diet or has a toxic relationship with food. Number one is cravings. When the body senses a lack of food or a lack of main macronutrients, so carbs, protein, and fat, as mentioned before, homeostasis, that balance, is disrupted. So the stress response is triggered and the body does everything it can to regain this balance. This adjustment can cause really intense cravings or even binge urges. And this is because the lower part of the brain, that primal brain, is taking over and it's taking charge. It wants food for survival, and it will continue to send cravings of urges or food until it has received what it needs. I actually had a friend message me on Instagram the other day and tell me that he's just started this new diet, and one of the days he had to do this cleanse, and this cleanse was, I mean, it's a great cleanse. He's having a lot of nutrient dense food, which is great, but he completely decreased carbohydrates, and you know, you could only eat specific things. Now, this, he messaged me and he was like, I don't understand. On this day, I was eating like, or having this type of food, and all I wanted was pizza and carbs and something heavy. He's like, I just had intense cravings. And this is what happens, especially if you are used to eating a certain way. But when you cut down main macronutrients or cut down calories, the body automatically switches on survival. It thinks, oh my gosh, I'm in a famine. And even though you know you're not, our body cannot determine between a real and a perceived threat. So like a lack of food or a lack of a main macronutrient is perceived as a threat within the body, and the body responds accurately, right? So like, I think about back in the day, we didn't have much food available to us. So the body had to figure out a way so that we didn't die. How can we survive through this? I know. We can release insulin and cortisol, triggers the body to store weight, store fat, not build muscle, not use as much energy, decrease digestion, hold on to that weight so that we can survive for longer. So I thought it was interesting that as soon as he cut out carbohydrates and tried this cleanse, that automatically his body was just like, nope, not having it. Now, number two, what else to expect? Digestion, energy, mood. Low calories triggers stress response, triggers some degree of digestive shutdown. The body thinks that it needs all of its energy to be dispersed to our outer limbs to either fight or flee from a threat. Digestion is not a priority at this point. So you may have some bloating, some constipation, some stomach pains. You may have a decrease in energy, which happens after the body is in that mode for a prolonged period of time. Your mood may be affected. You may become irritable. Like, there are really crappy side effects of this style of eating that's not necessary. Now, number three I want to talk about is leptin. Now, leptin is a hormone that's produced by the fat cells in our body, and its main role is to regulate fat storage and how many calories you eat and how many calories you burn. So in summary, or in short, when you eat and your body fat goes up, it's going to increase your leptin levels, and they signal you to eat less and to burn more calories to obviously get you back down to a normal weight range. On the flip side, when you don't eat and your body fat goes down, let's say you're underweight, it's going to decrease your leptin levels, and it will signal you to, well, it will block those receptors to eat more, and it will signal your body to burn less calories because we're back into that starvation response, that stress response. Now, this is a great mechanism, it's a great hormone, but it can actually be blocked even if you are not underweight. So when the body senses a lack of food for a long period of time, it senses you're restricting your food, you're not eating enough, it's going to trigger that fight or flight mode, which can increase our leptin hormone, signaling the body to eat more for survival. So you might be someone who constantly tells yourself, I just need to have better willpower. I'll start again on Monday, whatever you say. But these same signals are going to be sent within your body, and they're going to bring you right back to this same cycle. Diets do not work. Do people lose weight from diets? Sure. Do they last long term? Absolutely not. Restrictive diets are unattainable in the long run. There are so many better and easier ways to achieve long-lasting results. And I think what the issue is that people are like, they want things now. I want weight loss tomorrow. I want to be 10 kilos tomorrow. Like, I wanted it yesterday, you know? Like, we're so impatient that people almost think, okay, well, but diet works short term, so I may as well do this really restrictive diet and lose weight really fast, and that's it, and then I've lost weight. But you lose weight, you slow down your metabolism, you eat normal again, and you put on more weight because your metabolism is slower than what it was before. There's such a reverse cycle. So sure, can you lose weight in the short term? Absolutely. Will you put on more weight when you start eating normal? Yes. Will you start eating normal? Yes. Restrictive diets are unattainable. So you need to change this cycle. All right. So I want to talk about the most important factors when it comes to weight loss and still keeping a healthy relationship with food. So number one is you need to have regular meal times. It is so important for the body to expect regular meals. If you have an irregular eating pattern, it's something that's called arrhythmia, and the body is constantly worrying if it's going to be fed or if today is going to be a starvation day. And when we can provide the body with the comfort and the expectation of eating regular meals throughout the day, it can release that like worry of starvation almost. Now remember, starvation means different hormone releases, and many of these hormones trigger cravings, urges, and fat storage. Now, number two is a balance of meals. So having a balance of carbs, protein, and fat in your day is super important. Not only will it dramatically reduce cravings and the urges to overeat, but it's also going to provide your body with important nutrients and minerals that are required for your body to function optimally. When the body receives this balance of food, as well as regular meal times, like we talked about in point one, it's almost like a reassurance that there is not going to be a famine. So if you are someone that has weight to lose, the body will release any excess fat storage that it's been holding onto for survival because it knows that it doesn't need to hold onto it anymore. Now, when it comes to a balance of meals, I often hear people say that they are afraid of carbohydrates and that carbs are the cause of fat gain, and this is so not the case. Carbohydrates are our body's preferred source of energy. And obviously, I'm talking about healthy carbs, not cupcakes or lollies. Like, we need to disassociate the two as being the same thing because they're processed differently in our body. So without carbohydrates in our diet, the body will turn to other food sources for energy. So let's say it uses protein for energy. This means that instead of the body using our protein source for building and repairing tissue, for making enzymes or hormones or other body chemicals, it is using it for energy, which means these other areas of our body are going to suffer. So the next area I want you to focus on is your mindset around food. Now, I have a lot to say about this, and this is a really hard one because when we have been conditioned to think about food in a specific way and we have certain toxic mindsets around food groups that are considered naughty or damaging, for example, the carbohydrate example I just used before, or for another example is there are so many people who completely restrict themselves from any type of pleasurable food, such as chocolate or sweets or cupcakes, this can be a huge issue. So it's becoming way more common for people to believe thoughts like food is the enemy, or as soon as I have the perfect body, I'll be happy, or food makes me fat, or the fat in food becomes the fat on my body, or this food is good and this food is bad. And unfortunately, I can relate. Throughout my training, if you have not heard my story before, go back into my podcast. I've got one on my story in there somewhere. But I used to be an elite athlete and had a bad eating disorder, bulimia and binge eating. And throughout my training, I had these exact thoughts. Like, they might seem harmless, but they create a painful relationship between you and food that leads to ongoing suffering. So one of the most fundamental building blocks of nutritional metabolism is our relationship with food. This is the total sum of our innermost thoughts and our feelings about what we eat. And what we eat is just as important as our thoughts and beliefs about the food we are eating. And what I mean by that is how we think or perceive the food that we are eating can literally create a negative or a positive chemical reaction within the body. So I'm going to speak about a bit of the science behind that for you, to give you a little bit more of an understanding of what I am talking about. Now, the information highway of the brain, so our spinal cord and our nerves, is like a telephone system almost. And it's how our mind communicates with our digestive organs. So let's say that you're about to eat a bowl of ice cream. The notion and image of that ice cream will occur in the higher center of our brain, which is the cerebral cortex. And from there, information will be relayed electrochemically to the limbic system, which is considered the lower portion of our brain. The limbic system regulates our emotions and our key physiological functions like hunger, thirst, temperature, heart rate, and our blood pressure. Now, within the limbic system, we have this like pea-sized collection of tissues known as the hypothalamus. And these integrates the activities of the mind within the body of the biology. So it takes sensory, emotional and thought input, and it transduces this information into like this physiological response. Like, it's incredible. It just takes all these little things, takes all this information, and creates a response. Now, the more I learn about the body, the more blown away I am. Like, it's way too complex for me. So in the next section, I'm going to refer to the relaxation and the stress response. But just so you don't get confused, when I speak about the relaxation response, that's our parasympathetic nervous system. And when I'm speaking about our stress response, that's our sympathetic nervous system. So let's go back to you eating ice cream. Let's think about the ice cream as being your favorite flavor, let's say chocolate, and you consume it with full pleasure and delight. The brain is going to modulate this positive input by sending activation signals via that parasympathetic nerve fibers. Remember, that relaxation nervous system. And it's going to go to the salivary glands, the esophagus, our stomach, things like intestines, pancreas, liver, and our gallbladder. And digestion is going to be stimulated, and you'll have a fuller metabolic breakdown of the ice cream, and it's going to burn calories more efficiently because we're in that relaxation response. We're enjoying it. It's pleasurable. It's a positive experience. Now, flip that on its back. If you're feeling guilty about eating the ice cream, or you're judging yourself for eating it, the hypothalamus, that lower part of the brain, will take this as a negative input, and it's going to send signals down our sympathetic fibers, so that stress nervous response of the automatic nervous system. And this is going to initiate inhibitory responses in the digestive organs, which it means that you'll be eating your ice cream, but you're not fully metabolizing it. So it might stay in your digestive system longer, which can actually diminish your population of healthy gut bacteria. And it's going to increase the release of toxic byproducts into your bloodstream. So these negative signals in the nervous system can literally decrease your calorie burning efficiency and increase insulin and cortisol. So the thoughts that you think about the food you eat instantly become reality in your body via the central nervous system. Crazy, I know. Any guilt about food, shame about the body, or judgment about health, these are considered a stressor by the brain, and they're immediately transduced into their electrochemical equivalents in the body. So you could eat the healthiest meal on the planet, but if you're thinking toxic thoughts, the digestion of your food goes down and your fat storage metabolism goes up. Likewise, you could be eating a not so healthy meal, but if your head and your heart are in the right place and you relax, the nutritive power of your food will be increased. Do I want you to go out and eat a whole tub of ice cream? No. But it's just showing you how our thoughts affect our digestive pattern and our caloric metabolism. Now, to fully appreciate the power of mind over metabolism, think about the placebo effect. There was a study conducted in 1983 where medical researchers were testing a new chemotherapy treatment, and one of the group of cancer patients received the actual drug being tested, while the other group received a placebo. So it was like a fake, harmless, chemically inactive substance. And as a side note, all pharmaceutical companies have to, or by law, are required to test any new drugs against a placebo, which determines, the true effectiveness of the drug or the product. So yeah, so in this course of the study, 74% of the cancer patients receiving the real chemotherapy drug showed one of the more common sides of the treatment, which is hair loss. Now, the group that were taking the placebo, so it was not chemotherapy, there was no drug in it really, no chemical in it, 31% of the patients on the placebo chemotherapy lost their hair. And this just shows the incredible power of expectation. The only reason that those placebo patients lost their hair is because they believed that that was going to be the effect of taking that drug. And like many people, they associated it with going bald. Now, there've been other studies on people who consider themselves gluten intolerant, where they have a gluten-free substance, but they told them that there was no gluten in it. And some of the patients, after taking this gluten-free substance, demonstrated the side effects that gluten would actually give someone who is intolerant. So if the power of the mind is strong enough to make our hair fall out or create intolerance reactions when taking a placebo, what do you think happens when we think to ourselves, this cake is fattening, I shouldn't be eating it, or I'm going to eat this fried chicken, but I know it's bad for me, or I enjoy eating my salad because it's really healthy. Now, as I said before, like, I don't want you to go out and eat a tub of ice cream, and I'm not saying that we can eat anything we want if we just believe it's good for us, like, I know. But what I'm suggesting is that what we believe about any substance we consume can powerfully influence how it affects our body. So take a moment to think. If you believe that food is the enemy, then it is a threat that can activate your fight or flight response whenever you eat or even think about food. And that response can shut down digestion. It can reduce your metabolism as well, making you feel chronically anxious. So ask yourself one question. Is my relationship with food nourishing or punishing? And my biggest tip with this section is start asking yourself questions before every meal. How do I feel right now? And then how do I want to feel after this meal? Do I want to feel satisfied? Do I want to feel full? Do I want to feel content? Do I want to feel grounded, energized, happy? Ask yourself as many questions as you need before you make your food choice. I think it's incredibly important that we start connecting with our body when it comes to nourishing our body and our food choices. And instead of choosing the low calorie option that is going to leave you feeling hungry, empty, unsatisfied, low in energy, let's start making choices based off how we actually want to feel rather than the number of calories in it. Now, what I have found with doing this exercise is that this actually helps me and my clients to make healthier choices. For example, if you are constantly questioning how you want to feel after your meal or what food's going to sit good with you, I highly doubt your answers are going to be, I want to binge on sugar and eat McDonald's. I guarantee this will not be in alignment with how you want to feel after you've eaten if you take that time to stop and reflect. Now, in saying that, there is a time and a place for those types of food. Sometimes you need that sugar fix or that heavier, greasier meal, and that's okay. But that's not going to be what your body wants or needs for every meal. And the more that we can connect with our body and its signals, the more we can make healthier choices and know when our body actually needs those sometimes foods. Now, in saying that, I have chocolate every single day. I love it. It makes me happy. But I choose to eat chocolate that is raw and that's organic, and I choose to not binge on the entire block in the space of like 15 minutes, because after I eat it, I don't want to feel guilty or have that really sickening feeling. So even though I want to have chocolate every day, I still sit and I still think and I'm like, okay, I really feel like this. Well, I want to make a healthier choice, and I don't want to binge on the entire block because I know that that's going to make me feel sick. And I don't want to create bad connection with chocolate where I can't have it in the house because I know that I'm going to eat the whole thing. All right. So it's just about communicating. It's about slowing down, and it's about being present when you're eating. The more disconnected you are when you're eating, the more you're going to eat. So connect with your body. Ask it questions. Do I want sweet or savory? Do I want hot or cold? Do I want a light or a heavier meal? Do I want crunchy or soft? Do I want to feel grounded or energized? Like, listen to its responses and make your choices from there. And the more you do this, the more insight you'll get. So at the beginning, it's all a guessing game, right? But once you start to ask these questions and really start to respond and listen, the more insight you'll get on your body and the more connected you will feel, the better your choices will be. Now, the last area that I want to touch on is slowing down and being present. And I pretty much talk about this in every single podcast episode I've ever recorded. But it's the core of everything. If we are constantly in the flight or fight mode, then our body will not be working optimally. When we can slow down, become present, drop into our body a little deeper and create that relaxation, we will have our optimal body function. Our digestion improves, our calorie burning and metabolism increases, energy increases, inflammation decreases, bloating decreases, everything becomes just that little more stable and in tune. So I want you to take 5 deep belly breaths before every meal. And when you are doing these breathing techniques, that's when you can really drop into what your body needs at that mealtime. Eat slow and present. Enjoy that experience. I want you to really allow the brain to receive the pleasure and the nourishment, not only from your meal, but also from giving it the chance to slow down and catch up. Humans are not biologically wired for this high-speed life we live. Like, we thrive off slowing down and dropping into relaxation. It allows everything to catch up and settle into this nice pace. I was actually speaking to a friend this morning who has struggled with inflammation and bloating and the inability to lose weight, and she has a really stressed lifestyle. I know her job stresses her out, other things, you know, going on, but because of isolation, she's forced to slow down, right? She's allowed and had the time for her body to catch up. And she's now seeing differences in her body, inflammation going down, bloating going down, weight loss happening, all because her body could catch up. It's no more in fight or flight. So really take that on board and realize relaxation and presence, slow eating is super important. So I want you to ask yourself, are you functioning at high speed? Do you eat super fast? Are you present when you eat? Are you stressed? Do you have self-care routines in the day that allow you to relax? Do you focus on your breathing and actively try to slow it down? Do you take a moment to be present and practice gratitude in the day? If not, how are you going to show up for your body and make changes that support the goals you set out for your body to achieve? Until we can learn to work with our body and not against it, we'll forever be in this toxic cycle. So it's time for you to make a change and try some new strategies. Throw away the restrictive dieting and say hello to a new way of living. It's a more sustainable and a more gentle way. I promise you that. And I am honestly a living proof of all of these strategies. So to summarize everything that I just spoke about, implement regular mealtimes, eat a balance of macronutrients, release the toxic nutritional beliefs around the food you are eating, and focus on relaxation, slowing down, and being present. I know how scary it can be to believe that your body wants to eat more food if you are someone who has restricted for so long. I get it. I totally get it. But what you need to remind yourself is, if what you're doing is not working, then something needs to change. This doesn't mean that you eat more food and eat anything you want. You still want to provide your body with nutrient-dense meals that are satisfying. You still want to make sure you're making those healthy choices, but it's about listening and nourishing in a way that supports relaxation and not eating in a way that supports stress response and survival mechanisms to switch on, which release hormones and all the rest of it. Okay, so make changes based off relaxation and stop making changes based off stress. So if you want more information on this topic, please let me know. I have a bunch of ebooks that you can purchase, binge eating course that you can do. You can just contact me if you want to chat via Instagram. I'm going to leave every link down below, so please click on one of those and check it all out. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I think it's a good one. Hopefully it was helpful for you. I'd love to know any aha moments you had from this or any parts that you found really special for you. So please let me know. Please, please leave me a review. They actually make my heart warm. I would be so grateful. But thank you guys for listening. I'll speak to you all in my next podcast. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would be so grateful if you were able to leave me a review. And please follow me on Facebook and on Instagram at BearXBrave. If you have any questions or you want to contact me at all, please email me at lyh_podcast@outlook.com. I'll talk to you in my next podcast.